Chapter 1, Giving Your Listing Away. It always baffles me when a seller says they gave their home listing to someone. That's how a lot of sellers hire their agent, by giving it to them. They say, I gave the listing to Mark. I gave it to my friend. I gave it to my wife's college friend. To me, the word gave means that the agent didn't need to work for it, and the seller didn't see the value a really good agent brings to the table. I hope to convince you that this single principle, that the agent should earn your business, is paramount. Nobody says they gave their kidney operation to a doctor. They say they picked Dr. Green for a very specific reason. That doctor earned the right to be selected. Dr. Green was the expert. It was a decision based on professional qualifications more than anything else. No, 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 no. Don't ever give your home listing to an agent. That's what most sellers do. And most sellers regret it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard a homeowner say, I gave my listing to Joe or Sally. It's as if the sellers think that all agents are created equal, that we all do the same thing, that we push all the same buttons, and it doesn't matter who's hired, the result will always be the same. This is the first and most common seller mistake. If your agent earns it, you will be rewarded with the best possible outcome, the highest sales price possible in the shortest amount of time with minimal headaches. This book is all about making your agent earn your business by doing what's best for you. For me, I always ask my sellers to allow me to earn their listing. After reading this book, with statistics and common sense on your side, you will have the upper hand in the agent hiring process. I mentioned earlier, the National Association of Realtors has done a lot of research. Of all NAR stats that I found, these are the most impactful to my points. 75% of all sellers don't interview more than one agent to sell their home. Only 10% of sellers interview three or more agents. And 75% of all home sellers don't use the same agent on their next transaction. When I first saw these statistics, I thought, there is no way these numbers could be correct. However, the data doesn't lie. Let's think this through. First, there's a huge number of agents in the marketplace. Of course, some are very good and very successful, but the reality is that most aren't. I've been selling for over 20 years. I've experienced the first two stats, that most sellers don't interview more than one agent and only a few interview three or more. But I've not experienced the last one, which is most sellers don't use the same agent on their next transaction. As I considered these startling figures, I started to think about the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle, and how it applies to this business. The Pareto principle is a consistent rule stating that 80% of the effects come from 20% of the causes. That's why they call it the 80-20 rule. To say it another way, 80% of the sales are done by 20% of all agents, and 20% of all agents handle 80% of all sales. The principle says to focus on the efforts of the top 20% to maximize your result. If you dig further into our industry data, you'll find that our business is skewed even more. It's actually 10% of the agents do 90% of the business. Now let's be clear, I'm not suggesting that you find an agent in the top 20% or even the top 10%, because I think you can do even better than that. I recommend that you focus on the top 1 to 2%. You want an agent that does such a great job that you use them again, right? Most agents can be categorized as satisfactory. You might find someone good, but not great. If you bought and sold a house at least twice, you are undoubtedly nodding your head in agreement. As my real estate coach constantly says, good is the enemy of great. I love that expression. So many people settle on good and give their listing to the first agent they talk to. But does that get you great results? A great agent is worth every penny of their commission. A bad or mediocre agent will almost always cost the seller money and create liability issues, many of which can haunt the seller for years. However, an excellent agent will almost always make a seller the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time with the fewest headaches. I hate to say it, you get what you pay for. It all starts with how the agent handles the commission negotiation. I'll go more into that in Chapter 7. And, unfortunately, I have more bad news. Finding an agent doesn't mean they won't take you down mistake lane. Some are top agents because they're extremely good at what serves their own goals, not their clients. Also, don't worry too much about hiring someone who might seem too busy. Most top agents know how to make it happen. That's why they're on top. The research clearly shows that most sellers simply don't pick the right agent. There are several reasons for this. People are in a hurry to get the business of buying or selling completed. Time spent with several agents seems like time wasted when all they need is one agent. And sellers think that if their neighbor sold a house with Jack, then Jack can sell their house too. All agents are alike, aren't they? Nice people in nice clothes who know how to sell? No. Spending time researching agents is never a waste of time. Omitting this step is one of the biggest seller mistakes. A top agent who is your advocate will help you avoid errors. So the more time you spend researching agents, the happier you will be with the outcome. The goal is to hitch your wagon to a bright and shining star. It isn't that daunting of a process. This is the first of many steps to put the odds in your favor. First, I strongly recommend to consider only local agents. You are almost always at a disadvantage if you work with people in real estate who aren't in your area. They don't know the trends, the neighborhoods, the houses, or even the local agents. Don't worry, every single area has top agents. You just need to spend a little time finding them. It isn't as easy as searching top agents anywhere, USA. You will quickly find that many agents paid for placements on these lists. Don't buy the hype. How to find top agents to interview. Number one, call the managers at the local brokerages and ask who their top two agents are. Don't hire the manager, because they tend to be part-time agents who primarily spend time dealing with other people's problems. Number two, search online for lists in your area. Be careful about trusting a list that agents pay to be on. And number three, ask friends, family, and neighbors. Gather 5 to 10 names and start researching them. Pick at least three whose names appear often, who demonstrate experience and success. Their production numbers should be easy to find, and you'll find their properties on multiple web platforms. And while you're checking online, see whether an agent's name appears for doing something great, stupid, or even illegal. And make sure you have the names right. Apparently, there are no fewer than 13 Mike Bells selling real estate out there. Now that you have your list, the next step is to call as many as 5 of the agents who have made the cut. You don't need to give them your contact information or your home address. You can describe your location, size, and condition so they can get a better idea about your listing. Realize this phone call is not about finding out what your home is worth. Rather, it's about finding out if the agent is the right fit for you. Make sure to tell each of them that the agent you intend to hire needs to earn your business, and that you aren't just going to give it away. These are trigger words for a top agent, so listen to what they say. Let the agent know that you plan to interview several agents and that you will let them know if they are one of the top three. Each call doesn't need to last more than 10 minutes. Chat with them and see if there's good chemistry. You could be working with your agent for months, so it helps if you get along well. Now is the time to ask point blank what they will do to sell your home and what makes them different from the other agents. Take notes while you're chatting with them. Most will want to meet with you as soon as possible because they are trained to set an appointment. Don't fall for it. Once you pick your top three, call them back. Let them know they have competition. Give them your contact information and your address. And, by the way, you don't need to mention that you have this ultimate seller hack, this book, in your possession. A good agent will ask what's important to you. Let that person know that you want to sell for the most amount of money and you don't want your agent to make any mistakes. Don't tell the agents what you think your price should be, and don't tell them what the mistakes might be. You don't need to bring up the commission question unless they bring it up. Save that for later. While you're talking to multiple agents, you might find that they sound the same. If an agent can't explain or effectively show you their value proposition, or they don't hit on the main subjects of this book, then move on. Too often, a seller decides on an agent because of the fee they charge, specifically how low it is. I have a full chapter that covers this, but it is worth addressing it now. If you give the principles in this book a chance, you will find that many of the higher fee agents have more success for their clients and earn more for them than discount agents. Don't use the commission as a deciding factor yet. Once you've gone through this book's various topics and feel comfortable that a certain agent has earned your business, here are a few things to keep in mind. Ask the agent what the best marketing practices are for your situation. Over the phone, you can describe your home or take photos or do a video conference to get more specific. The best marketing practices depend on things like if it's a buyer's market, which means if there's more than 6 months of inventory, or a seller's market, which is when there is less than 6 months of inventory, the condition of the home, upgrades, and if the home will be sold as is, fixed up, vacated, or staged. Ask them if your home will be on the MLS. Ask what kind of advertising will be done, and if there will be a focus on digital marketing. Ask for examples of other properties they've sold. With the knowledge gleaned from this book, you will know quickly if they're going to take you down mistake lane. Keep listening. There's a lot to this book. Also, ask your agent how they'll keep you informed. Do you want updates via email, text, or phone, and how often? I've had clients who've asked me not to give them any updates until it's good news. Other clients want to know the nitty-gritty of everything. Let your agent know that NAR says the number one complaint consumers have about their agent is that there isn't enough communication. Ask if you will be able to be let out of the contract if you're unhappy. I cover this in the last chapter. It may not be in writing, but if the licensed agent gave you their word, then you should count on it. The name game, broker, salesperson, realtor. There are a lot of different names in real estate. So when you sell your home, should you hire a broker, a salesperson, or a realtor? What's the difference? Most agents have a basic salesperson's license. Usually, the most experienced agents have a broker's license. There are two kinds of brokers, the designated broker, who is usually the manager, and then there are agents like me who've decided to get the more difficult license. Perhaps they had their own brokerage, they were in management, or went on their own at one time. These folks are called broker associate or an associate broker. A broker's license requires years of proven sales experience and passing a test that is twice as long and hard as the salesperson's license test. Unlike the salesperson's exam, the failure rate for the broker's license is high. There are over 2 million licensed agents in the United States. Only about 65% of them are realtors. To be a realtor, you must be a licensed salesperson or broker who pays NAR dues and subscribes to their strict code of ethics. The word realtor is trademarked by NAR and is a professional title for its members to distinguish them from outsiders. So a real estate agent can be a broker or a salesperson and a realtor if they pay their NAR dues. Is it better to hire a realtor? Consumers say yes. In 2018, the year the most recent data was available, the California Association of Realtors, otherwise known as CAR, asked consumers what is important to them in selecting an agent. Referrals from people I trust garnered the highest response at 69%. Referrals are also the number one source of business for most every top agent. The next important item in selecting an agent was finding agents who had listings like my home, and that was at 64%. Followed by looking at websites with ratings of agents' performances. That was at 62%. In fourth place was having a personal relationship with the agent. Interestingly, belonging to a realtor organization came next at 52%. If you like to play the odds, hire an agent with the highest license available, which is a broker's license, and one who's a realtor. Acronym inflation. While you've been focusing on what type of license the agent has and if they're a realtor or not, you will undoubtedly notice a number of designations that are meant to convey expertise. We've all seen the agent business card with a long trail of abbreviations. For the big offenders, we call it acronym inflation. The designations are very popular with real estate agents. I even have a few. They just don't necessarily make me a better agent. Agents get inundated with educational opportunities from NAR, CAR, and their state associations. Topics and their acronyms include green designation. working with seniors, which is called SRES, working with first-time buyers, FTBS, and regular buyers, ABR, working with landowners, ALC, international buyers, CIPS, diversity sensitivity, AHWD, working with sellers, SRS, resort sales, RSPS, short sales and foreclosures, SFR and CDPE, general practice, GRI, CRS, LREB, and CRE, probate, CPS and PPS, disaster preparedness, DPK, office management, OMC, assistant manager, CRB, IREM, and RCE, team leadership, TLC, smart homes, SMART, marketing, MIRM, real estate teams, C-RETS, digital marketing, E-PRO, property management, PMM and CMP, performance management, PMN, military relocation, MRP, pricing strategy, PSA, negotiations, RENE, and on and on. Whew! When it comes to these acronyms, realize that the coursework is usually great, and most of the students are newer or unsuccessful agents. When I first entered the real estate business, I had a lot of extra time and not a lot of clients. I wanted to make money. I also wanted to learn as much as I could as quickly as possible. Some courses average 50 hours, like my Graduate Realtor Institute, GRI, and my California Probate Specialist, CPS, designations. My Seniors Real Estate Specialist, SRES, designation took 12 hours, which I received online during the first month of the pandemic lockdown. We all had downtime. According to NAR, 72% of brokerages encourage their agents to get more education because it reduces brokerage liability. Occasionally, you will find an agent with a lot of experience in acronyms, but they are far and few between. It doesn't mean they can handle the transaction like an experienced broker. Don't let yourself get too hung up on titles. We've covered the basics. Interview at least 3 local experienced agents. Gravitate to those that have a broker's license and are realtors. And don't get too hung up on their acronyms. Focus on their experience and know-how. 75% of all sellers don't approach it this way. You could stop here, and you might be okay. However, the advice in this book gets better and better. Not only will you be able to cut through the process faster and know more than most agents, but you're also probably going to sell your home for the highest amount of money possible. It all starts with signaling to the agents that you aren't going to give your home listing away. Take a moment and say to yourself, the next agent I hire will earn my business. The next time you sell a home and you have a good experience with the agent, be sure to tell your friends that the agent earned your business. You didn't give away your home listing. I guarantee you, with this simple task in mind, that you will have a much better experience.